All right, please turn or tap to the book of Galatians. If you are using a pew Bible, it's on page 1003, and you'll get right to it. Galatians chapter 3. We've been going through a sermon series together for several months. It's called Finding Freedom. And a programming note about Finding Freedom, the series, is I'm going to take a break after today. We'll have something on Christmas Day, a Christmas sermon, and then a New Year's Day thing I want to do. And then I will return to this series in about a month or about 4 weeks from now, January 22nd, if I did my math right. All right. Knowing Jesus is knowing freedom. It's experiencing freedom. And by freedom, I mean free from rules, free from laws, free to have a direct relationship with Jesus. You can speak to God himself because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, I usually preach from one of two versions from here. Out loud, I study in other versions too, but I usually preach from the NIV, New International Version. That's what's in the pew. Or the New Living Translation, the NLT. This time I couldn't decide. I liked them both. They both had their strengths that brought out some really good things in the passages we're going to do today. So I decided to do this. I'm going to read all the verses from the New Living Translation straight through. I won't stop and make comments or anything. And then we'll go back and focus on a few key verses for the focus today. And I'll be in the NIV for that. So they're both great. They're both great. Now, quick context before I get to these verses. And this is, if you were here last week, you might remember this. The Apostle Paul has been, he wrote this to the Galatians. And he's been talking about, in the last several verses, about the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law that all the Jewish people, that they had to be under. They had to obey this law. And he said, why was this law given? Why do we have this law of Moses? Specifically, and very importantly, it's not the only reason, but it's maybe the top reason, Paul said, well, we wouldn't know what sin was if we didn't have the law. We wouldn't have any idea. It's wrong to do this, wrong to do that. We wouldn't know. We would just be in anarchy. So God gave us the law to point out what sin is and how God wants us to live our lives. Then he's continuing that teaching in the verses I'm picking up today, and I'm picking it up in verse 23. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ, Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that is the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That's beautiful. That's the word of God. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. The title of today's message is Slave or Child. Now, given the choice, which would you rather be? You want to be a slave? You want to be a child of God? I think the answer is obvious. I'm not going to go over all the verses again, as I said, but some key ones for today's focus. I encourage you to read this section of Scripture again before you turn out your light tonight, just to get some context, and then maybe the Holy Spirit will speak something to you that I didn't say, but read it later on in your favorite version. Doesn't matter. So in the first few verses I read earlier in the NLT, Paul used the illustration of the law as like being in custody, and a guardian watching over us until we could mature enough to inherit what we were going to get from our earthly fathers. Until Christ came. Then we were justified by faith, not the law. And if you are a follower of Jesus and he is your Lord, you are justified by faith and faith alone, nothing else. Now, there are things we are supposed to do and not do as believers. We come under God's lordship, but that's not what gets you saved. That's not what makes you justified before God. It is faith in Christ Jesus alone that justifies you. So let's jump down to verse 25 in chapter 3, and I'm going to read four verses, and we'll land on 28. So I'm switching back to the NIV now, or switching over to the NIV. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, that may be a familiar verse to you, that last verse. There's no slave or free, male or female and all that. But we're all one in Christ Jesus. This one gets quoted fairly often. And it's a very encouraging verse for any believer of Jesus Christ. We are all children of God through faith in Christ. And in Jesus, in the kingdom of God, God's family, everyone matters. Everyone has the same value, no matter what, no matter what your background was, how much you sinned, no matter anything else. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. But even after we become Christians, sometimes it's almost hard to believe because of our human minds and sin nature. Have you ever felt like you don't measure up as a believer? Like, I'm not a very good Christian. You ever felt like that? You don't have to raise your hands, but you know, you get caught up in that. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not very good at being a Christian, or maybe you're not as important. Maybe you thought that I'm not really important in the kingdom of God compared to others. I don't do all that fancy stuff. I'm not well known. I don't preach. I don't sing. Man, no, don't fall for that. Don't think like that. Because in Christ we are one. And if you get this, oh, other people are better than me, other Christians are better than me, or I'm not a very good Christian, listen to me and listen to me close. And if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, I want you to hear this. That is a lie from hell by the devil himself. He is planting lies in your head. And you need to reject lies. God doesn't lie. There's what his word says about you right there. And it's not just Jew or Gentile, male and female, and slave or free. Those are three examples. You can come up with endless categories. There's nothing, there's no difference that you can make that makes you better or worse in God's kingdom. We're all the same. That's what God's word says about you. Don't listen to the devil. If you've trusted Jesus to be your Savior, and I hope you've done that, if you have, you're in the family, period. You are not inferior in any way. You may feel like that sometimes, but you are not. The truth is in verse 28 about that. Regardless of how you see yourself, regardless of how you think other people see you, regardless of the lies people may have told you or the world has told you or said about you, there are no divisions in the kingdom of God. So stop believing the lies. You have Jesus and he has you. There was a line in Christ Alone. I didn't know we were going to sing that today. That was worded differently than that. But you have Jesus. Think about this. You have Jesus, and he has you. Let that settle on your brain for just a second. Now let's look at verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We saw some of that in last week's verses where Paul was leading up to this part. If you belong to Christ, you have inherited a promise that God gave to Abraham nearly 4,000 years ago. Again, you are in the family of God. No one can come along and take that away from you. You're not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. We're all Gentiles, but we are adopted into God's family. We all know people that have been adopted, or maybe you've adopted a child, or at least you know someone. And you know, I think everybody knows this, once a child has been adopted, all the legal stuff is done, they are now a daughter or son of those parents. And by the way, Eric and Cheyenne Logan Bill are right over here, and just this last week, Braden is now an official, legal, all signed off. He is a Braden Logan Bill. He's been part of their family for a year or more. But he's being shy, but that's all right, brother. We're happy for you as a family and for Braden, man. No one could come along and say he's not their son. Legally, spiritually, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, he is a son, whether they had him biologically or not, doesn't matter. He is their son. No one can come along and nullify that. Diana and I have been friends with Shane and Tracy Schrock. A few of you may know them. A few of you may have met them here. They've been here three or four times, I guess, over the last 3 years. We've known them for 25 years. And here's a picture of them. Now you may recognize them for a certain reason. This is about 2014. I think it was 2014. And that was their adoption week, actually. We took a picture with them somewhere. You don't have to look at that picture very hard to see that one child looks different. Let's see the second picture. Let's bring up the other one, too. That was about a year later. So as you're looking at the screen, the boy on the right, he died. I've mentioned that in sermons before. He died in 2015 of cancer at age 9. So he lives with Jesus now. But you don't have to look very long at that picture and think, something's different. We got a couple of gingers in there and a dark-haired white lady and whatever. You ever grow up watching Sesame Street? Anybody grow up watching Sesame Street? I saw this really dates me, but I saw the first episode in 1969. I actually remember. They made a big deal about it. I watched it on a little black and white TV. Right? Remember that song they taught you on that show? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. Can you tell me which thing is not like the other? By the time I finish my song, probably cut that part out of the recording to spare others of that. So we look at this picture, and one of those things is not like the others for sure. We have a little African-American baby in there. Well, she's one or so there, I think. The song works for the first line. One of these things is not like the others. But the song doesn't work because the song says one of these things doesn't belong. That's not true from a legal point of view. It's not true from God's point of view. It's not true from these parents' view or anybody that knows them, because her name is Avery. She's 10 years old now. Her name is Avery, and she absolutely belongs to this family. Some of you, again, may have met her, and that's one way of remembering her because she stands out. Shane and Tracy adopted her as an infant. And so she is legally and spiritually part of the Schrock family. When Shane and Tracy die, and I hope that's in the far, decades away, she will inherit an equal share of whatever their estate is at that time, along with her siblings. She is a sister to her brother and sister, and her brother that lives with Jesus now. Now, I can't imagine, now I've known him for a long time, right? I've known Avery since she was a baby, but I can't personally imagine, and other you've had this experience, I can't think about this family without her part of it. It's not imaginable to me. And I don't even notice her difference. It's just her, If you ever doubt that, first of all, don't forget it. You have been adopted into God's family, just the way civil adoptions were, with Braden and Avery there in the picture. So don't forget that. You have been brought into God's family. Be continually thankful to God particularly to the work of Jesus on the cross. And if you ever doubt that, and I understand doubts, I've had a sermon about it, and I'm working on another one, I don't know when I'll do it, but if you ever have doubts, first of all, it's okay. Doubts are okay. God can handle that. But if you have doubts, am I really part of God's family, really saved, am I all those? Open up the book of Galatians and start reading. Just read the book of Galatians and let the Holy Spirit speak to you the word of God. Now, Paul briefly takes us back to when we were in slavery, we were in sin. So jump down to chapter 4, look at verse 3. We were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Now, for the Jews specifically, at that time, that meant they were under the Old Testament law, and really everybody was under the law, whether they knew it or not. This is the way God wants you to conduct your lives. For Gentiles, more generally, and back then, and Gentiles, which we are all Gentiles here, it means we were in our sins at one time. And it's sad to think that a little baby that looks innocent, I've got a 5-week-old granddaughter, I look at her, and how could she be guilty of sin? But she's born into a sin like all of us were. And it's really hard to get our heads around that. It seems unfair, and it is unfair. But sin enter the world. Devil doesn't play by the rules. He makes his own rules up. He's not fair. So we're born into sin, and this power, sin is powerful. The pull to sin is very powerful. I might be tempted, and there would be some power in some certain area that it wouldn't even be on your radar. And you might be tempted in a way that doesn't even occur to me. But we're all pulled in by sin's power one way or another. Last week I called it sin jail. We're in sin jail. We're locked up. Nobody can get us out. And spiritually speaking, it's slavery. Sin is slavery. Even if we choose to sin after we become a Christian, we can get caught up in things and don't even know how to get out of it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You don't know how to get out of the situation. It's like a habit or an addiction of some sort. Now, before I show you the next couple of verses, when we read them, you may think, hey, that Pastor Jerry dude is really smart. He made this land on the week before Christmas. It beautifully fits in. I did not do that, and I am not that smart. I planned this sermon series out about 1.5 years ago, and it has been moved at least twice that I know, so I can take no credit for the following verses fitting in perfectly for today, the week before Christmas. That is all the Holy Spirit. Got to give him credit, right? So Holy Spirit did this. So verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The sentence will continue in just a minute, but let's stop there for a minute. When the set time, God had a time in mind, a very specific earth time that he wanted to send the son, when all the conditions were right. This was prophesied hundreds and hundreds, centuries before this. The set time, it had come. Christmas, the Savior was born. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, right? We get caught up in all this stuff. I get that. I do too. But we're celebrating this promise that was given almost 4,000 years before we are here today. And that promise was Jesus. And he came at the set time, the right time, God's time. Abraham's seed. Paul talked about that in the previous verses. Abraham's seed, singular. That was the promise. And he was born the normal way. You all came out of your mother somehow or another. There is no other way to have babies. You must come from a woman, right? So just like you, Jesus was born of a woman. And at that time, his mother and himself were born under the law and all its requirements. Emmanuel. We hear that name for Jesus a lot around Christmas time. And just in case you didn't know, I know many of you know what it means. It means God with us. God with us. He came to live with us, which is, I know you've been a Christian for a long time maybe, but that is still a mind-blowing idea that God came to live with us and live like us. Wow, the Messiah had come. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of Man appears. He's been waiting a long time, and he finally had come. And he came for you. Don't forget, yes, he came for everyone. He came to die for the sins of the world, but if you were the only one, he would have come for you. He would have come for you. The sentence that started in verse 4 continues in verse 5. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's kind of new to you, don't get hung up on the word sonship. He's not excluding women here. What Paul is using is legal language under Roman civil law. So he's quoting, like as an example, he's quoting human adoption and the way it was back then. Again, civil law. And back then, in the first century, only sons, that's just the way it was, only sons could inherit anything. Women couldn't, for the most part, own land or do much of anything else. They didn't have a lot of legal standing. So only sons, that's why it says sonship there. The NIV is more precise in its language. It says sonship, but the NLT brings the meaning out. So I'm just going to show it to you in the NLT again, just this verse. And here it is. God sent him, talking about Jesus, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so he could adopt us as his very own children. So that gets the meaning across in case you get hung up on the word sonship. God adopted us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's good news right there. The good news of Jesus. He was born like you were born. He lived and he dealt with life just like you have to deal with life. He went into ministry and he healed people and he performed miracles to establish his authority. And eventually the religious leaders had enough of him and they put him through a mock trial and they crucified him on a cross. Even though he had never sinned, never broken any of the law in his entire life, he was crucified like a common criminal. And he died on the cross. They buried him. And on the third day, he rose again. That's why he came. That was his purpose in coming. Not to do a bunch of things to impress people, like all these miracles. That was to establish his authority. He came to go to the cross. And that means, because of what Jesus has done, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he's paid for your sins and he's defeated death. That means we can have, every person in here has or can have, a true personal relationship with God. One-on-one, we can have that. That wasn't possible before Jesus. Now look at verse 6. Because you are his sons or children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now remember that when you receive Jesus as Lord, and you accept that free gift of salvation, you come under his lordship, at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. You may experience a feeling, you may not experience anything, but the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. The word Abba is an Aramaic word. Both Greek and Hebrew were spoken in the first century in Greco-Roman culture, and also Aramaic, which is kind of related to Hebrew. But Abba is the word for father. And Abba was used a lot for like a child addressing their father, so it shows a close relationship. So when the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Bible says elsewhere that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. You used to have to go to the temple. Now God has come to you and lives in each of us. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. That is the kind of relationship with God you have. It's close. It's personal. You call him Father, Abba, like a child calls out to his father. And he loves you. He loves you more than any person can understand. He loves you far more. I could stand up here for an hour and tell you how much he loves you, and I wouldn't come close to getting across because we can't understand that kind of love. We're not capable of giving it or even receiving it. But we can believe it on faith. So when given the choice, would you take slavery over being a child of God? I would hope you'd choose the latter. It's an obvious choice. No one wants to be a slave. Nobody. Slavery is terrible. It's like the big black mark on our American history. We had literal slaves. And slavery continues today. We have, you know, human trafficking, things like that. There's still slavery. When it comes to sin, though, the slavery of sin, and human slavery is rooted in sin, right? But sin is the worst slave owner by far. It can entrap you. It can hold on to you. And it's a terrible, terrible slave owner. Now let's look at verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. If you don't know Jesus, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's the truth. If you don't know Jesus, you are under the slavery of sin. And here's the deal. Here's the bad news. Sin's going to kill you eventually. Sin will kill you. It will take you to death. That's the price of sin. That's the paycheck you're going to get with sin. It's death. There's no other way but death if you're caught up in sin. But you can cross over from slavery to being a child of God in a moment if you want to pray to receive Christ and put yourself under his lordship. It doesn't take long. You need to be ready. I don't want to, you know, push that on anyone or strong arm. I don't want to make you feel guilty or scared or anything like that. But I'm telling you the truth. Sin ends in death. Life is only found through Jesus Christ. Prayer team, if you'd find a spot up here to wait for people that might want to pray this morning. These prayer team members are up here to pray for you for any reason. Don't be embarrassed. It might be for salvation. It might be for some physical healing, or you're worried about something, something's bothering you. Nobody's going to know why you're praying up here with them. We're not going to assume this or that. But please feel the freedom to pray with someone else. Let them pray for you and with you. Sin is a brutal, brutal taskmaster. But you can find freedom from it in Jesus. You can be taken out of that sin jail, that prison that sin keeps us in. And only Jesus has the way to get you out. Emmanuel, God with us. He came for you. And as we focus on Jesus, especially during the Christmas season, I'm going to ask you, have you let him into your life? And have you given your life back to him? Only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for anyone else in this room except myself. The worship team is going to sing a song that many of you are familiar with. It's called O Come, Emmanuel. But it's not a time to stand up and sing congregationally. You can sing if you want to. That's fine. But stay seated. This is a ministry time that they have for you. They want to minister to you through the words of the song. So whether you're singing or not, just really lean into the words of the song and what it takes you through in the various verses. You can listen, you can pray, you can meditate on what God has done for you, or talk to God that maybe you need to accept him for the first time, whatever it is. But whatever happens in these next few minutes, I hope that will kick off an ongoing focus, especially for this week. We focus on Jesus as we move toward Christmas Day. When they're done with the singing part, the lyrics are over, they're going to continue to pray and they're going to continue to play, and then I'll come back after a few moments and pray for us all. So let's do that now. Let the Holy Spirit do its work. Listen to God. Until the Now, church, let's not be in a hurry to get out of here. I've been praying for you. I've been asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You can sit there. You can come talk to a person about prayer. We've got somebody over here, too. They will pray with you and for you. But just think about what God has done for you. The freedom that we have. I don't think we really understand it. But we believe it because of Jesus. So just take a few moments. I'll pray in a moment, but take a few more minutes. Father, we rejoice because you sent your Son. Jesus, we rejoice because you volunteered to go to the cross to pay for our sins and then defeat death forever and ask us to join you in that. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming to us, living in us, guiding us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.